in the potter's hand. Clay in the potter's hand. I'm going to ask you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, and I want you to look at the first six verses of that passage of Scripture. And I believe it's important that we pay attention to what God's Word is saying to us in this passage, because He is saying a great, great deal to us. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the first six verses, and the prophet, this is what the Lord said. He said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Now I want you to look at that second verse for just a second. I want you to see, first of all, that there's a command. There's a command to arise. God told Jeremiah the prophet to get up. And then He tells him to go. And then I want you to notice in the latter part of that verse, He says that I will cause thee, He said, I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down. Notice what He did. He went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now the clay is who? The clay is us. The clay was Israel. And the potter was God Himself, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to be able to understand that and see that. So he went down and he watched him make a vessel, and it said that the clay itself marred in the potter's hand, so that he made it again. Notice that, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now this is the challenge. There was in that verse up there, there was a command. Now I want you to notice that there's a challenge here in verse 6. He said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Now I want you to pay attention today as I share this message with you. Let's pray together here. Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we thank You for White Plains Baptist Church. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege this morning to walk into these doors and to greet and meet people. And Lord, as we've done that, we believe with all of our heart that we're in the midst of God's people. And Lord, today I pray Your blessings upon this church. I pray, Father, for every single individual. I pray for every single family. And I ask, Lord, that You lead, guide, and direct them. Now as we have an opportunity to open Your Word and to study, and Lord, to hear the message that You gave the prophet Jeremiah, I pray today that we might apply it to our own personal life. Because Lord, more than anything in this world today, in this old cold and indifferent world in which we live, Heavenly Father, I pray today that You would make us that old moist clay in the potter's hands. So that the potter, so that God can make us what we need to be. Lord, doesn't matter how old or how young we are, this message is for every single person. Now I pray, Lord, that we might be in Your presence, and Lord, that You might speak as You spoke to Jeremiah, as You spoke to Israel, speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Listen, folks, we're created in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're created in the image of God Himself, that we might honor Him and that we might bring glory to Him. He created us in His image, made us like Him in some sense, that we might bring honor and glory to Him as we live on the face of this earth. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says. Paul wrote this, and he says, For we are bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify our God in our body and in our spirit, because it is God's body and it's God's spirit. You see, we were created by God, and then we were purchased again because of sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood that you and I might have eternal life. He bought us again. He purchased us again that we might be what He wants us to be in our life. This is something that I have preached all of my life. And I don't know this morning if you're sitting here on Highway 8 at White Plains Baptist Church in Pelzer and you can grasp this. But I want you to know this morning that every single person sitting here in this room and every person that's ever been created, God created you for a purpose. You have a purpose on this earth. And so many times what we do, we just believe or somehow we think that we've just been born to exist. Young people, that's not it. Senior adults, I want you to know today, that's not it. Medium adults, it's not it. We were not born just to exist on the face of this earth. But God has a purpose for you being here. And the real tragedy of life is this, that we go through life and we very seldom ever really sense that purpose or we ever really understand that purpose for our life or know that purpose. And it's important for us to understand it, that God has that purpose. He has that purpose for me. He has that purpose for you. And we ought to spend our lifetime begging and pleading and seeking to serve God that we might find out what that purpose is on this earth. You see, it's important for us to know. We realize that one day this life is going to be over with. This life's going to come to an end, folks, just as sure as I'm standing here today. I'm 72 years of age. And I know that, and some of you are older than I that are here today. And we know that we're coming down to the end. And one day when that happens, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you know Him personally, my friends, listen to me. You don't have to worry about those sins because your sins was covered at the cross of Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin is under that blood and it's washed away. And Jesus Christ today sits at the right hand of His Father and He says, Father, those are clean. Those are my people. Those are your child. And we don't have to worry about our sin at the judgment seat of Christ. But what we do have to worry about is that purpose. We do have to worry about how we have conducted our Christian life on this earth. How we have lived out before Jesus Christ, what God has called us to do, why He put us here, and have we followed and sought what He wanted for our life. That not only applies to your personal life, but it applies to this church. It applies to the body of Christ. Have we fulfilled our purpose? Have we done what God wants us to do? One day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand before Him. And you're going to stand before Him. And when we do that, I believe that He's going to show us our life. And what we're going to do, and listen to me, young people, I want you to know He's going to show us all of the opportunities and all of the blessings that God has for us. Folks, I want you to know this morning, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless our life each and every day. God wants us to have and realize the opportunities that He presents to us. And what we do so many times, we just come to church and we play church. We go through the motion of worship and we never really experience Him. We never really listen to the voice. As Jeremiah was listening to the voice of God, so do you. So do I. We must listen to the voice of God. You see, the prophet Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. I love the book of Jeremiah. Why? Because he has influenced me as a pastor so much. Because you know what? When you get a new pastor, and I know Brother Mike is this way, he's just as compassionate as he could possibly be. But I want you to know, you need to have a pastor who loves you. You need to have a pastor. Now, he might not love you the first day that you're here, but he's going to grow to love you as time comes and time goes. Y'all need to build a relationship. He needs to be a pastor who loves you. He needs to be a pastor who is burdened for you. He needs to be a pastor who's concerned about your life, not on Sunday morning or what you put in the offering plate, but what you go through every single day on this earth. He needs to be concerned. He needs to be burdened. And old Jeremiah, the prophet, you know what? He loved the nation Israel with all of his heart. And it broke his heart because of their sin. It broke his heart because of what went on in the life of Israel. And the Bible says that tears, time and time again, streamed down his face. Wouldn't you like to have a pastor who loved you so much that would care for you and be concerned about where you are in your life, whether you were saved, where you were lost, where you were growing, and what was going on and what was taking place in your life. You see, old Jeremiah was that kind of weeping prophet. Jeremiah's message to Israel from God was that they needed to be as clay in the potter's hands. As clay in the potter's hands. He wanted more than anything in the world for Israel to follow the leadership of God and to bring honor to Him, to be His people, and to bring glory to Him because they were His people. You see, today, Jeremiah's message from God to me and you personally, we need to listen to. Listen to this. Can you, or can the Lord today, can the Lord Jesus Christ today have His way in your life? Can the Lord Jesus Christ have His way in your life? On Wednesday night, I talked about being still, being smart, and being submissive. This morning, can Jesus Christ have His way with your life? Will you be like that moist clay that was in the potter's hand, that as He put it on that wheel or the wheels, that He might be able to make and shape and mold and make your life what it ought to be? You know, folks, listen to me. That's something that we really deal with, something that's such a struggle in all of our lives. How many of us are willing to be that clay? How many of us are willing to be where we can be molded and made in the hands of God? You see, that question needs to be answered. Are you willing to become that clay? Are you willing today to come to the Master and say, Lord, I'm putting my life into Your hands and I'm going to turn it over to You. I'm going to let You have Your way. Folks, can you just imagine in your own mind what might be able to happen in your life individually? It wouldn't be the same old status quo stuff. It wouldn't be you just existing in life and going through day hunting purpose in life. But God would begin to reveal some things in your life that you need, the struggles that you have. My friends, listen to me. He would help you to overcome those struggles and to move forward in your spiritual life and be what God wants you to be. So you need to answer those questions today personally in your own life. You need to answer them to Him. You're responsible unto God. In this passage of Scripture, there's some important things that I want us to see. There are five things, and I'm going to move very quickly if I possibly can. First of all, I want us to see the receiving of the Word of God in verses 1 and verses 5. In verses 1 and verses 5. The receiving of the Word of God. How do we receive the Word of God? How did the Word of God come to Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a prophet called by God. So God wanted to do business with him. You were saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. You're His child. So the truth is this morning that God wants to do business with you. Will you let Him do business in your life this very day? You see, first of all, you have to have that personal relationship. Now, I hope everybody in this room this morning understands this. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, folks. Now, the world will tell you something else. The world will try to confuse you. The world will try to mess your mind up. And in doing that, will mess your life up. But I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter what position you have. It doesn't matter anything about what you do in this world. The only thing that matters is what you have done with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And if you go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goeth to the Father in heaven except through who? The Son, Jesus Christ. You have to have a personal relationship. A personal relationship is not something that you come in here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday night at 6, and then put your Bible down, and then you never in any way, form, or fashion have any kind of relationship with Him. Folks, I don't know about you, but listen to me. I need Jesus Christ every single day. I'm a preacher. I have to study for sermons. But you know what? I love to study, just to study the Bible. Why? Because it connects me with a holy God. It connects me with a God who created me, a God who loves me, and a God who went to Calvary's cross and died for me. It connects me with Him. So I have to have a personal relationship. That means when I get down, I have to call upon Him. When my heart is broken, I call upon Him. When there's joy in the camp and when I can celebrate and rejoice, I call upon Him. He is my best friend. You see, folks, listen. He's my Savior. And I have a personal relationship with Him. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? Do you talk to Him on Monday? Do you live for Him on Monday? Is He involved in your life on Tuesday? Do you do what He asked you to do on Wednesday? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You must have that relationship. And if that relationship is not where it needs to be, then my friends, you need to find out what it's going to take to get it there. And today's a good day to do it, amen? Today's a good day to make that relationship what it needs to be. But not only do you receive God's Word through that personal relationship, you see, God called Jeremiah. So when He spoke to him and He said, "Arise," Jeremiah knew who was talking. But you need to be receptive. Not only a relationship, but you need to be receptive. You need to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. God speaks. God speaks in my life and He speaks in your life. And what we have to do is we have to be attentive. We have to listen for Him and to Him. And then when we are attentive, when we begin to pay attention to God, when you begin to pay attention to what God is wanting of your life and what He is doing in your life, my friends, listen to me. I believe with all my heart that you will hear Him speak. And then when you hear Him speak, what we need to understand is we need to be available to do what He wants us to do. Boy, that's when it really is when the rubber hits the road. We'll listen to God sometime, but then that means that we have to do what He says. You have to be willing to make yourself available to Him. If you're going to have that personal relationship, if you're going to be able to have that kind of relationship with God, it means that you must be attentive to Him. You must be available to Him. But then secondly, I want us to understand, as we receive the Word of God, I want us to understand we must respond to the Word of God. In verses 2 and 3, first there's the obedience. Listen to what He says. In verse 2, He said, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." So what did Jeremiah do? Did he sit there? Did he procrastinate about what God told him to do? Did he put it off? Did he ignore Him? But the Bible says that Jeremiah got up and Jeremiah went. He went down to the potter's house. Church, you can come in here every single Sunday and you can sit and you can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon. But when are you going to listen to God? When are you going to be attentive? When are you going to respond to Him? You see, that's important for a Christian to be able to live and do what God wants that person to do, to respond to Him. When God speaks, do you respond? When God tells you to take an office, a position, when God tells you to go and minister to someone, when God tells you to get involved in something in the church, do you do that? Or do you wait and see who else is going to do it? Do you put it off? Do you do what God is asking you to do? Do you respond to Him? See, Jeremiah responded to God. Our obedience, and I want you to listen to this. If you don't get anything else, I want you to listen to this. Your obedience is measured, or your love for God is measured by your obedience. Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him this morning? Do you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart? How obedient are you? That's the measuring stick that will prove. That's the measuring stick that will really say how much you love Him. Now, this is a good crowd on Sunday morning. But I can stand here right now and predict about what we're going to have tonight. Amen? Y'all amen? Y'all go to sleep on me? Wake up. I mean, why? Why in the world is it too much to come back to church on Sunday night? We live in a world this way. Listen, folks, I preach all over God's creation. You're not the only church in that predicament if you're in that predicament. I just got through pastoring a church or doing an interim for 2.5 years, and my friends, listen to me. I preached to about half what I had on Sunday morning. I don't know why we don't understand that God wants us to worship on Sunday. This is His day, amen? It's supposed to be for Him. Not the world that's out here, but for Him. So it's important to be obedient, but then we must be observant. Look at verse 3. He says, as we become obedient, we must also observe and watch and see what God is up to. Now, church, I want to encourage you a little bit. Listen to me. God is up to something at White Plains Baptist Church. God is up to something. He wants to do something in this congregation. He wants to do something in this fellowship. But what you have to do is you have to respond to Him. You have to be obedient. And then you have to observe. What is it that God is wanting to do? If I asked you this morning, could somebody stand and tell me? You see, we have to observe, we have to listen, and then we have to observe what God is wanting to do, what God is willing to do, and what He will do. So there must be an observance. But then I want us to note a third thing in verse 4a, the resistance to God's work. The resistance to God's work, the problem is simply this, a little three-letter word, S-I-N. You see, the potter took that clay and he put it on that wheel. And remember, I said that God's got the master plan for your life. Amen? God's got the plan for your life. He knows your purpose for being on this earth. Have you sought that purpose? Have you sought His plan? You see, the potter, when he was ready to make that clay, when he was ready to make that vessel, he put that clay on that wheel and he began to make what he had planned and purposed. But then as he made that, you know what happened? There was a mar came in the clay. And he had to take that mar out of that clay or that piece that came out, and then he had to begin to make it again. You see, folks, it's important for us to understand that God wants to do a lot in our life. He wants to do a lot in this church today. But because of that little three-letter word, and my friends, I understand today that y'all are not worldly sinners. I understand that. Please pay attention to me, what I'm saying to you. I know that you're not out stealing, robbing, raping, and all of that stuff. Worldly sins that we look at and shake our head and say, why? Y'all are good people. Y'all are decent people. Y'all are saved. Many of you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe all of you are saved this morning by the blood of Jesus Christ. But my friend, I don't know about you. I sin. This preacher is standing before you today as a sinner saved by grace. And that's all I am. I'm a human being. I sin every single day. I pray and ask God to forgive me every single day for those sins of omission and commission. A lot of times I sin and I don't recognize it. I don't understand it. I ask God to forgive me. But there's that three-letter word and it's called sin. And when that begins to happen in our life, listen to what he says in this verse. He says, the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Sin. Now our sins is this. Listen to me. Are you self-centered? Preacher, is that a sin? You better believe it's a sin. Are you self-centered? Yes, we're self-centered. If you don't believe it, you go to the grocery store or some of these places out here in traffic and you'll find out how self-centered people are. Amen? Wake up. We're self-centered. We're all about ourselves. We're full of pride. The biggest problem in Southern Baptist churches today is Christians and their pride. We won't let God break that crust off. We won't let God get a hold of our heart. We won't get down to the nitty-gritty of where we really are. Christian after Christian is just filled with pride. Man, we're going to do it our way, or we're never going to stoop to that point. Pride. Pride is one of the greatest sins that we have in the church today. There's the rebellion, the disobedience, the running from God. I'm going to share a story with you in just a second about that. But how many of you have ever run from God? How many of you right now, this very morning at White Plains Baptist Church, are running from God? Fourth thing this morning I want us to see is God's restoration. Look at it. It says in verse 4b, "So He made it again, another vessel." Isn't that something? He made it again, another vessel. First of all, there was God's patience. He wanted to make it again. The potter did not give up. And nor does God give up. God didn't give up on me, and God hasn't given up on you. God didn't give up on you before you were saved, and because you have not been obedient, because you have not done what He has asked you to do, because you have not filled the position and places in service of the church and the kingdom of God as you should, God hasn't given up on you. The Bible says that He made it again. He didn't take it off of that wheel and just throw it aside and start again. But what He did was this. He took what was left. And folks, some of us sitting here this morning don't have much left. But He took what was left. Young people, listen to me. And He made it again. He made what He could. Young people sitting here in this audience today, my friend, you've got your whole life ahead of you. He can do just anything He wants to with you if you will just let Him. But you have to let Him. You have to be willing. Some of us, we're getting down to the end. But He still wants to shape you. He still wants your life to be productive. He still wants you to understand that you've got a purpose for this earth. A place in this church, a place in the kingdom of God. He wants to use you in a special way. He loves you. He loves you more than anything that you can ever imagine. And all He says is, just give me what you got. And I'll bless you beyond measure. I'll bless you as you've never been blessed before. When I was a young man, 26 years of age, God began to speak to my heart. I was a textile salesman for John D. Hollingsworth in Greenville, South Carolina. I was making good money for that time, in that time. My wife owned a beauty shop. She owned her own beauty shop. We had three kids. We were doing real well in this world. When I was 26 years of age, God began to speak to my heart about the ministry, about the calling of preaching the gospel. Do you know what I did? I just buried myself up in church work, and I thought that I was pleasing God and doing everything I could for Him, and I was. At New Hope Baptist Church in Malden, South Carolina, you know what I did? I was on the deacon board. I was chairman of the deacons. I was on the properties committee. I used to cut the grass around the church. I did everything I could. When my pastor went visiting on Tuesday night, you know who was sitting in that Volkswagen next to him? I did everything I could. I thought, well, this is it. God, I'm doing everything I possibly can. What more do You want me to do? And little by little, God continued to speak to my heart. And He said, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to share with other people the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to preach. And for 10 years, I ran. And I ran. And I ran. You know why? Because I thought that was something that I wanted to do. And I sure wasn't going to play that game with God. But God continued to confirm in my heart until one morning in July, I got up out of bed. I hadn't slept, and I don't know when. I got up out of bed at 4 a.m. in the morning. We lived in a tri-level house. I went to the bottom level of that house. I fell down on my knees, and I said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. If you want me to preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel." Scared to death, I wouldn't tell my wife that day. Finally, that night at supper, I asked her, I told her, I said, "Honey," I said, "this morning I surrendered to preach the gospel." She looked at me with a very nonchalant way and she said, "Well, I was just wondering when you was going to do it." I thought she'd throw me out of the house. But we had to make a lot of adjustments. She had to sell her business. I had to go back to school. We had a lot of things, the new adjustments we had to make. I don't want to say sacrifices because I don't know what sacrifice is until I go to the cross of Calvary and somebody nails me up. But folks, what I'm saying to you today is this, and this is the fifth thing. God's request in verse 6. God's question in verse 6. He says, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel." Now I want you to do me something. I want you to take "O house of Israel" out, and I want you to put your name in there. Arnold, can I do with you this very day? Can I do with you as the potter did with that clay? Will you become that clay, that moist clay, not that old hard stuff that mars up and has to be taken out, but will you be willing today to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, I know I've kind of been hard to get along with down through these years. I'm just as stubborn as a bull in a pasture. But I want to come to you today and I want to say, not O house of Israel, but Arnold, your name. I'm willing today to be that clay, to be that soft, moist clay in the hands of God, that He can take me and He can use me, that He can make me, that He can mold me, that He might use me for His honor and for His glory." Church, you're not here just for existence. You're not here, Christian, today just to exist. And when you find that sweet fellowship, and when you find that direction in life, and when you find God speaking to you as He's never spoke before, that's the sweetest joy that you'll ever have in your life. Other than being saved and coming under the blood of Jesus Christ, being born again, my friends, listen to me, you will never ever have any more sweetness in your life than to become that clay in the potter's hands, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know He wants to do that with White Plain Baptist Church today. He wants to do that in your personal life. He doesn't want you to continue to struggle. He doesn't want you to continue to fight the battles that you fight every single day. So many Christians have battles. They have warfare every day. God wants to help you today. God wants you to have that joy, that peace, and He wants to speak, and He wants you to be obedient. I'm going to ask the musician and our song leader if she would come. I want to ask you in just a moment to bow your head, shut your eyes. And today, if God has said anything to you, if God has spoken to your heart, you know what? I know it's hard. Now listen to me. I'm not your preacher. In a couple of days, I'll be gone. You'll never see me again, probably, unless I become roadkill out here on Highway 8. Never see me again. But I'm here this morning to encourage you, to help you. Because I want you to have the victory. I want you to have the joy. I want you to have the life that God wants you to have. And I can't make that decision for you today. I can't go back there in that pew and would not go back there in that pew. But I'm begging you today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for your sake, today to become as that clay in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how old you are, how young you are, God wants to do something in your life today that you have refused to let Him do maybe all of the years of your life. Why not today? If you're here and you're lost, the invitation is for you to come. I'll take that request today and I will turn that over to Mike and to the leadership of this church. And hopefully you'll follow through and be baptized, become a member of this church. If you're here today, I'm standing here in the front only to help you. And if I can do that, I'll be more than happy to do it. This altar right here was built for the purpose of coming and kneeling and praying and talking to the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I don't do that in the public, and I understand you might not do it. But you know what? When you are obedient and you do what God's telling you to do right now, and if He tells you to come to this altar, you better not sit there. You better come. Amen? God's speaking today. He wants to. If you're here today and you know your life's not where it needs to be, I want to encourage you to come. If you need church membership, I know this church today would receive you in any way that they accept members. But God wants to do the work today in your heart and in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, no one looking up. Heavenly Father, as we come to invitation time, this is the most important time. The most important time in this church. Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted You, never given their life, and if they died today, they'd go out into eternity and they'd die and go to hell. What a tragedy. Lord, all I have to do is ask You to come into their heart. All I have to do today is surrender, to be submissive. Say, God, I want to be that clay. There's probably some hard-necked, stiff-necked church members sitting here today. And all their life You've tried to stand and do for Yourself. And the invitation today is for that you become clay in the Master's hands. And everything that you've ever fought that He might want you to do in your life, I beg you today to come and be that clay that He might mold you and make you and shape you. Heavenly Father, You have Your way with this invitation. We're not going to prolong it. We're not going to beat these people to death. We're just asking You for the Holy Spirit to do the work, and we'll acknowledge what He does. Thank You for this day. Thank You for this message. Use it now for Your honor and for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would